Despite the fact, welcome to the Non-League Football Show. I'm Caroline Barker, and by the magic of technology, I join you tonight from a car park in West London. Alongside me, Dave Anderson, former manager at AFC Wimbledon, amongst others. Evening, Dave.
Good evening. It's nice to see how yelled you were, you know.
Yeah.
It's your other job, isn't it?
We're in a car park, flashing our lights, to wake up Dave Watters, PR man with Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues, who too is also elsewhere tonight. I was about to say ensconced in the tomb, but that was another story. Dave, where are you this evening?
I'm still alive, and I'm here. I'm at home in my results bunker. There's a few games on tonight, so I hope you can all hear me.
We can. At any stage, I should inform dear listeners, we may be cut off as the security guards wandering around, and we do look the oddest of sights. We should explain why we're here. We should explain, but
please,
we won't. No, we'll just leave people guessing as to why myself and Dave Anderson find ourselves in a car, and may not take our top off the car.
I thought when he says we were taking the show on the road, it would be a bit more extravagant than this, you know.
I've brought you to a view. We can see the back of a very posh car from where we are, but we are rapidly steaming up the windows.
Careful, you know, hanging around in car parks in the evening. I know this is a family show, but it can be a bit dodgy these days.
The other thing we should be careful about is that, sadly, I can't cut Dave Watters off at any time, as I normally would. At Non-League Show, to see a view of where we are this evening, we've posted one up there. Shall we rattle through what else has happened? I know you said you're in a results bunker. A couple of stories. We're going to talk to Mickey Mallon, the campaign at Tranmere, off to a win. But good news, a WhatsApp has come in on Dave Anderson's phone, who we're reading any script. I hope no one sent you anything filthy, Dave. We're going to talk about WhatsApp a bit later as well, because there's a manager that's putting it to good use. Anyway, I digress, as is my wont. Other news, bits of news this week then, from your leagues, Dave Watters?
Well, I suppose the big one in the, I'll start with the Northern Premier League, was up at Corby Town. You know, big club, we're in the conference not long ago. Their manager, Tommy Wright, you know, a young player manager. He's done quite well there in the last year or so, but anyway, they haven't had the best of starts. And unfortunately, he parted company with them, I think, on Sunday, in the wake of their latest defeat. I think they lost 2-1 at home to Ilkeston. So yeah, he's gone, bless him. And in the Ryman League, Averley last week, I think we may have covered the fact, did we cover them last week? They lost Justin Gardner, who'd been at Averley for a long, long time. Very well thought of. They're moving into a new ground next season. So it was a real surprise when he left. But anyway, Terry Spillane, I nearly called him Mickey Spillane then, sorry, I always do that. the detective, Terry Spillane, the former Stansted, Redbridge and Morden and Tiptree, and most recently Thamesmead manager, he took over on Monday, I believe. So they've got a new manager there as well. All is clear at the moment in the Southern League, although in recent weeks they've had a few casualties, but there's been no blood on the carpet there, as far as I know, in the last
week. Given that our positioning tonight has been likened already to a murder stroke ghost mystery, maybe we should leave it there for the minute. Let's bring in some new life, some new blood, or not so new blood, of course, to the world of non-league football. This week, you'll be well aware that Mickey Mallon returned to Tranmere Rovers and he joins us now. Hiya, Mickey.
Hiya, good evening, everybody.
Many congratulations, Mickey, on the new job. I say many congratulations because obviously a few raised eyebrows at taking a drop down, but for you it feels like that, doesn't it? New beginnings, new starts.
Yeah, I think the important thing was for myself. I'm just going to attack by my pet dog now.
That sort of night, Mickey, don't worry about it.
No, the important thing was that when I considered the move to Tranmere, it didn't take me long to decide that I wanted to be involved again with a club that meant so much to me. I'd played in the Championship with Tranmere, and obviously, like everybody else who's affiliated with the football club, had seen their demise for one reason or another, and it didn't sit right with a lot of us. Because I think anybody who knows and is connected with Tranmere will know that the strength of the club was the togetherness of the groups throughout the years, and I had so many, many good, fantastic times there. So when the opportunity came along last week to speak to them, I wanted to speak to Matt Parler, who I'm now called chairman now, but just for the to make sure everything knows who we're talking about. I got the opportunity to talk to him. I went and spoke to him, and spoke with my family, and I just felt that it was an exciting challenge to be a part of. I know how big a club Tranmere is at most levels, never mind in the Conference Premier. So when I went along and I seen the plans, it just excited me. I wanted to be involved with a club that so many of my friends still involved with. I mean, you walk around the club and you ask anybody who's at the club, how long have you been here? And it's 25 years, 50 years, 20 years. A lot of my ex-teammates are all the youth team managers. They're running the academy. They're running the community side. Sean Garnett's a coach here. All the scouts are all ex-Tranmere players. So it's a real group effort. I mean, the chairman's an ex-player. So it's a real group effort for us all. An exciting challenge. I think we had 6,500 on Saturday. It's a real all get together job, and it really excites me, and I'm delighted to be a part of it, I've got to be honest.
And to be fair, Mickey, it's Dave Anderson. I mean, I have a couple of sort of points that I'd like to put to you. The first one is that they say you should never go back. You know, did that cross your mind?
Well, this is my third time. It did the second time.
Well done, Dave.
I think
there would have been nobody being my clanger there, Mickey.
I think what you call it is a habit now.
It is. But no, it must, you know, you're always aware that, you know, you've a great sort of name there. You're an icon. You're looked upon well. I believe the reception you got was unbelievable before your win. But did it cross your mind about going back and maybe ruining that? There's always that could happen.
I think that's part of the challenge, isn't it? I think if you're a football manager and you got offered to take on a team that you have such a strong personal affiliation to, I think it's so exciting. Because when we win on Saturday and we get the result on Saturday, I've got people in the crowd that I know. There's people know been in the games for years that have came there. It's just such a big group thing at the minute. I wouldn't want to not be a part of it. There wouldn't be many places at the minute that probably I could get to that would be as exciting as this. I mean, I'm realistic about where I could go as a manager. And when I look at it and I think to be a part of something like this really is exciting for me. It's really something I'm really wanting to be a part of. I'm willing to take on a challenge. I know what might happen, what might not happen, but winning on Saturday solidified every reason why I'm here, because it was fantastic.
You mentioned Mark Palios, Mickey. Some of his quotes this week saying it was fairly obvious we have to get promoted, should get promoted, and that he thinks you've got a good squad of players there. So he doesn't have to tell you that he wants promotion. You don't have to feel the pressure of promotion, because I guess when you took it, you knew that's exactly what he wants.
I would be lying if I never said that I think that the football club has got to get out of the league. But listen, I've been in the Conference North, the Conference Premier. I respect the competition. I'm no one of these people that ever you'll hear ever really saying we must get out this league and showing non-league a lack of respect. It's a very, very tough competition. There's a lot of good football clubs in this division. There's a lot of good people at the football clubs who are going to make the challenge really tough. Every game is unbelievably tough to try and get a result in for one reason or another. So I respect that. So I kind of steer away from what we want today in the horizon and try and concentrate like I've always done. And that's just win the next game, because it's such a tough league. If you start to shout about what you want today and we're going to do this and do that, I tell you what, I know what it's like. The league will turn on you and you'll be everybody's cup final and all the rest of it. No, I have a real healthy respect for the competition. I enjoy the challenge every week of it. I'm going to take every challenge on and try and win every game. And if I can help in any way the players to give them a better chance of winning games, and that's what I'm here to try and do.
Yeah, Solihull, North Ferriby, Dover. Well, actually, ingrained on your heart. You don't need to tell you who you've got coming up next. Dave Waters.
Hi, Mickey. Yeah, Mickey. Sorry if my next question brings us down a little bit, but it won't. Don't worry. Dave mentioned the rapturous applause you got on Saturday against Wrexham with your 2-0 win. You're only 6 points off the top of the table, I believe, still, or is it seven? I think it's 6 points. You've got this great relationship with the fans there that you've built up over many years and stuff. I'm building up to saying, you know, do you think they're going to be patient with you, mate? Bearing all that in mind, because obviously they want success. You know, after coming out of the Football League, Gary went because he couldn't deliver it. Do you think they're going to give you? Do you think you'll have maybe a little bit extra, a bit of patience from the fans because of who you are?
Ask me that in time. the main thing. I think I'm quite relatively experienced manager, and I haven't come into this challenge not knowing that the main thing for any manager anywhere is you've got to win games. And I think a lot of managers are going to jobs when maybe they're younger and think that that's not what it's all about. If I win games, that's the most important thing. If I lose a game, I know the most important thing is to try and win another one very, very quickly. That's the only way that you'll keep control of anything at any football club, regardless of what the challenge is for that football club. Now, I know what mine's is, and that's we'll be expected to do very well all the time. And the only way that I will do what the fans want me to do, or get time, or whatever you want to call it, is to win games of football. And that's what I'll concentrate on. And if I don't win games of football, then I'll get what's coming to me, and I expect that, but just win games.
That's the reality of being a football manager, isn't it?
Mickey, and just finally, the cynics, I suppose the cynic in people will say that Shrewsbury wasn't going magnificently and it was a great time to jump. What would you say to the people at Shrewsbury who you've left behind, the fans?
Well, I've spoken to them just about Shrewsbury, really, because you have to be very careful that you're not, people are not reading too much into, you know, when I say, oh, it's a fantastic club, and everybody goes, well, Shrewsbury's not a fantastic club. You know, it's what it's like as a manager. As you get older, you get a wee bit more streetwise about how these questions can be answered and how it can go. I love my time at Shrewsbury. I had a fantastic time at Shrewsbury. And I believe that in time, if somebody looks at what I did in just under 2.5 years, and if I'd have said that right at the start of the journey, that we'd have been playing against Chelsea and Manchester United and got promoted and sold players for nearly $3 million and blah-de-blah-de-blah. I think they would have thought that I was kidding if I'd have told them that at the start that we'd achieved that. We're building a new training ground that they're just about to move into. The structure of the football club is now set up that a manager can just walk in there and pretty much just pick up where I left off, because it's all been set up in a way that suits Shrewsbury now. So I walk out of there, I believe, in my head held high. I know people in time will understand that the pull of Tranmere is massive for me. It's exciting, and any manager will tell you that to get an exciting challenge, project, whatever you want to call it, is what you want to do as a manager. I don't want to be involved in anything other than things that excite me and all the rest of it. So I'm delighted that we achieved what we did at Shrewsbury. They'll hopefully carry on the work that we've started when we were there, myself and Michael Jackson. And now we move on to another challenge now, and I think that's just football management now.
Mickey, well, we're delighted to have you back. I hope for your sake it's only one season, as in you take them up, not that you get the tin tack. But for what it's worth, we'll very much enjoy having you on for as long as you're with us. Thank you so much for
really
coming on the show.
It. Really good luck, Mickey. To you guys. Yeah. Good night. All the best.
Good night, Mickey. Thanks. Enjoy walking that dog. Mickey Mellon and the dog joining us on the non-league show. He talks like a proper manager.
He is a proper manager,
of course, But that bit about actually getting a bit older, a bit wiser. I mean, I'm looking at you, Bray. It's very difficult to see you without the torch in your face sat in the car park.
But it's absolutely true. It's absolutely. We'll have Gary McCann on in a bit, who's now an experienced manager. The things you learn to, your heart rate stays a little bit calmer on every situation. You tend to see the picture with the blinkers off as you get older. You don't take things personally. And you need to go through that years of experience to gather those things up and deal with them. But he is an absolutely top manager for our level of football. And, you know, I wouldn't try and kid anybody otherwise.
It's around about this time of year when, you know, it's just turning a little bit colder and I take you to a car park that we like to talk about 3G pitches. Hopefully yeah. We're going to hear from Chris Swan, the chairman of Redditch United, about the very subject in just a moment. I'll wait till we get the nod that he's there and ready for us. But I just wanted to touch on a few other things while we were talking about managers too. See Peter Beadle, and I can see Peter Beadle because you've just shone the torch on it.
Yeah.
At Hereford this week has signed his first contract with the club. When you think how well he's been doing. But interesting that he's gone on this 12-month rolling contract.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I've had a few contracts. Most downhill, but yeah, I think that the situation that is, it means that Peter, if he leaves the club quickly, then he would get a year's money. And listen, I'm not saying this is what's happened. This is my perception of a rolling contract. And it means that the club aren't tied to a five-year deal where if they sack them after 1 year, they don't own 4 years' money. So I think it is the new idea, the new way. I know people who are working on three-month rolling contracts, so to get a year one's not bad.
Is that you, Waters?
It's great. I've been trying for 20 years to get a rolling contract.
Let's bring your chairman into this side of the debate. The aforementioned Chris Swan, chairman at Redditch United, joins us. Hi, Chris.
Hiya. You all right?
Yeah, we're very well. This is purely indulgent that we've got you on because Dave Anson, who's alongside me in every way in life tonight, loves talking about 3G pitches. And you've had one installed at the Valley Stadium.
Absolutely. And it's totally transformed the club. There aren't many situations, sports venues that can survive on one match every 2 weeks. We're now a 7-day-a-week operation and we've got a lot more interesting things happening at the club. We've obviously got improved facilities for the first team, but we've got a full-time academy with 30 16 to 9 year olds full-timers studying an MVQ in sports science and obviously playing football. We've got 50 kids teams, boys, girls and disabled. And when we work in partnership with West Bromwich Albion and Birmingham City Girls as well, who also use our pitch. So it's absolutely transformed the club and it's a 7-day-a-week operation now. And sustainable.
We're going to talk to the guys behind it and the girls behind it putting this pitch down. But for you, when you say it's kind of revolutionised things, and because it's very much part of the community club feel, isn't it? Is that the way forward now for non-league football, regardless of whether you've got a 3G pitch? I know Telford have been talking about changing the way that their structure is run with the fans involved. But for you, really rooting yourselves in the community.
Exactly. It's... The football is obviously the product, but we have to be and we want to be a community club. We work very closely with the local council, who've been very, very supportive, local business, local charities, and local organisations that work with disadvantage and other sort of issues. So we're very proud to do that. It invites people into the club. The people who come into the club eventually become supporters and volunteers and help drive the club on. We're just celebrating 125 years of history, and I think going into the next 125 years, the community club that we've established is going to be built on very strong foundations.
Well, not just the next 125, but the next 5 years, eh, Dave Anderson?
Yeah, the next five, you're sort of saying your plan is to try and reach the National League, sort of from the evil stick, which I think is brilliant. And but there will also be income that will help you do that because of the facility you have, won't it, Chris?
Absolutely. You know, we've had great support from the Football Foundation. We've had to put some funding in ourselves. But the area that we're going to really major on, as well as football participation and competition at all levels, we start at the age of three and go all the way through. But we're also going to focus on education. And we've got a campus on our site now. We work in partnership with Bourneville College and, as I say, the forerunner with these 30 full-time young lads studying an MVQ in sports science will unlock other potential opportunities to us.
Dave Waters.
Yeah, sorry. Hi, Chris.
I was just going to say, just that point Dave was saying about the money you can make from 3G pitches. I live near Tooting and Mitcham Football Club in the Ryman. And whenever I go past there, they've had a 3G now for a few years. Not on their main pitch, actually. They've got two sort of side pitches that are 3G.
Yep.
And I have never seen them empty. I mean, it doesn't matter what time of day, if I'm going past in the morning or late at night, it looks like those pitches are being used. Oh, excuse me, my results bunker. His phone's going off. So I was going to say, is it true that you could make up to about £250,000 a year, you know, if you do it properly and you've got it rented out to schools and community groups and all the rest of it?
I think it's more, I mean, it transforms the club in other ways. I mean, to say a 3G pitch is always used is, you know, it's absolutely brilliant. We reckon we've got 1,200 people, youngsters and adults playing on our pitch a week, which is tremendous. But the income streams, I mean, you know, it's not just a question of saying we've got a 3G, we've got to forget about it. You have to maintain it. We do 1 hour's maintenance for every 10 hours of use in terms of cleaning, aerating, replacing rubber crumb. There's obviously maintenance, the staff that are needed to supervise it, supervise the boots. So the pitch itself per se will bring you turnover, but the biggest thing it'll bring you is footfall and a 7-day-a-week facility. Mm. And the real
people
notice that we
wine, drink, coming back to see the matches, etc. Yeah.
Sorry, the real thing we've noticed is the increase in, you know, the ancillary sales, sort of soft drinks, beer, sandwiches, yeah, that sort of stuff.
Mm. Chris, just a quick one. Darren Byfield's still managing, of course, from Aston Villa, Walsall, Jamaica. How's he doing? I saw him kind of bemoaning a bit of a lack of consistency at the club.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a fact that we either have won a match or lost a match this season. There's no such thing at the moment as a draw with Redditch United. I guess that's a factor of the fact that we've got a very good blend of players coming together.
Mm.
There's a blend between experience and youthfulness. And, you know, every match that we're sort of going, he's improving in consistency. I'm very, very pleased with the impact and the start that Darren's made.
Yeah, and as a pro, he'll always be tough on himself anyway.
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on, Chris. We'll talk more about the pitches in just a moment, but appreciate your time tonight.
Absolute pleasure.
Chris Swan, chairman at Redditch United. It is... I mean, I don't. Your phone was buzzing in the background, Dave Waters. Not that I like.
No, that was actually my mum. Do you know that? That was my mum calling from Ireland.
Oh no! Yeah. I made you hang up on your mum. Do you need to go and take that?
No,
I'm just going to make you not talk to your mum. That's all right. You can apologise to her later. Take her out for dinner. Treat the girl. when your phone was going off there, I wonder whether we've had such a great, warm, mild winter so far. Whether there's been any sniffs really about postponements.
No. Nothing at all so far. As far as I know, we've had the usual things, just with cup games. But no, so far, touch wood, here, there's been nothing at all. But I think the weather is about to change in the next few weeks. So maybe in next month's show, things might be different. But
I look forward to your conversation.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we'll have next month's show is an off button for you.
Oh, meow. Get that man a bowl of milk. Seriously, get him some warm milk.
Okay.
Well, we are in the car park of aforementioned supermarket, probably, yeah, so I probably could.
Just get him a bowl and some milk, Dave, and you'll be as happy as a sandboy.
you were mentioning the cup games. I don't know if you saw this result this week in the Portsmouth Senior Cup. Gosport 19-1 winners over Widbrook United. Widbrook step 8, so it was a fair old whack between them. Beat Gosport's 71-year club record. Their previous record was 14-0. So they won 19-1. But what pleases me about that is Alex
manager. That's not on the other side.
I think what Alex Pike did is actually he took it seriously and he put his full first team out or thereabouts for Gosport. Yeah, but I am pleased as someone that's very much enjoyed watching Chelmsford play in the Essex Senior Cup. We've got Concord, big match. Actually, I'm pleased to see that they do take it seriously.
That'll be dictated by how things are going in the league, how you are in the cup, how your injuries are. It won't take preference, you know, unless it's a real exercise, because, you know, you have to use some of these competitions to bring younger players through at times. Other times, because your own team aren't performing, you put them into it, have to get some confidence and have to give them a kick in the backside, really.
Go on quickly, Waters.
I was just going to say, do you remember towards the start of the season, we had a bit of a row, didn't we, Dan? Was it the Devon League? Because one of the professional clubs down there, they were putting their kind of C team and stuff into their county cup.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line, isn't it, as Dave says.
Now, I like to treat you both. Dave, I take you out of a Wednesday night when we're recording this. Waters, we keep you away from us. This is how I like to treat you. But not just one, but two. Two opportunities to talk about 3G pitches, Dave Anderson, which is the love of your life. Let's bring in Brinley, MD of Sys Pitches, who put in that pitch that we were just talking about at Redditch. Hiya, Bryn.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us on the show. I know you're no stranger to all things non-league. The son of Brian Lee, no less, president of the National League, long-time friend of non-league football, and coming on the show too. So thanks for coming on. We were just talking to Chris then about what this pitch is doing for the club.
Yep.
He did mention, though, about sort of the re-crumbing that has to happen, the relaying of the pitch too. How have you tried to make it so that it's not prohibitive for non-league football, so that it's cheap enough for non-league clubs to get these pitches?
The pitch, when it's built, the base is going to last for 25, 30 years, so it's a real long-term investment for the club. And if everything's done correctly, the only thing that will need replacing during that period of time will be the surface. So up front, the cost is pretty high. Longer term, though, you know, over the course of 25, 30 years, it's not much of an expense at all, given all the other benefits it brings to the club.
Can I just butt in, a quick one. Is it true that every 10 years, normally around the 10-year mark, clubs need to be thinking, right, we're going to have to replace our, you know, the surface. So you would be advising them to start putting away some money every year towards that renewal, because that is quite, that still would, you're looking at a six-figure sum, aren't you, just to do that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a myth, this sinking fund. I've yet to see anything replaced using a sinking fund. The sinking fund starts off, is there for 2 or 3 years, then, you know, the club or
then something else sinks.
School, they'll use it for something else. But I mean, the main thing is the pitches. If it's maintained well and used well, you're going to get 10, 12 years out of it. And by that stage, you'll have, if you've got that kind of use, that it's going to wear out in that period of time, you've got revenue coming in. So in terms of replacing the pitch, you can pay for it out of revenue, because you've got a proven earner there. I mean, that's what clubs will have. They'll have an asset, and use that asset, raise the funds. So yeah, it's a great idea to get some money put aside for a rainy day. So when the pitch needs to be replaced, but you know, what we're finding now is more clubs, and schools where a lot of the early synthetic turf pitches, 3G pitches went, they'll look to pay for the replacement pitch out of the revenue they're earning on the pitch as they're using it.
And right. Bryn, what actually would cause a postponement on a 4G?
Snow. That is normally the only thing, and even then you've got you're not going to do any damage to the surface. And
frost.
You can clear the snow off the pitch. No, really, the pitches are very, very porous. So water doesn't hold in the top. You might get a crisp layer on the top, but that will be broken just by walking on it. So really, you should be able to play it in pretty much most weathers, unless you've got a heavy snowfall which sticks on the pitch. I mean, I've seen pitches played on in the heaviest downpour, you know, seriously heavy rain. The pitches are porous. They should deal with absolutely everything that's thrown at them. Mm.
Well, I mean, Dave is getting out his whole list of precipitation as we speak, and it could run through them all. But have you seen a change, Bryn, in the kind of mentality, the feeling over these synthetic pitches? And is that change happening more away from the UK than here in the UK?
Well, to answer the first one, there's definitely been a change in the last couple of years towards 3G pitches. A lot of the youngsters coming into the game today have been playing on synthetic pitches since they were, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. So they're used to the surface. So they don't have the fear that some of the more senior players and nowadays coaches have had, because the pitches that were played on, you know, up to about 10, 12 years ago, to be fair, were not very good for football. The newer ones are a lot better, and the players coming through don't have that fear. So we're seeing this acceptance. We're also seeing the fact that clubs can raise money, more money. A good synthetic pitch can raise a lot of money for the club, and you know that one pitch at the stadium can host you know, not just one team, but all the junior teams and everything. So it becomes a real hub of the community. So we're seeing a change in attitude there at the top level. In this country, there's still opposition to 3G pitches, and quite frankly, most of the pitches, if you're looking at Premier League, Championship, primarily, they've got the best groundsmen, so that they don't necessarily need to have a synthetic pitch. But clubs really from Division 1 downwards should be looking at it as an opportunity to raise money.
How long do you think before that will happen, that we'll see in the Football League? And will it be Maidstone going up and through?
Yeah, it's probably going to be a club. It's probably going to be a club going up, going through. It's probably going to be a club that plays away to a National League or other club in the FA Cup or something like that, and they just suddenly get used to it. It might be accepted quicker than we think. I don't think there's as much opposition in the Football League, as people think. I think if a team goes like Maidstone or Sutton or whoever goes up. They could. I don't think there'll be any problem with that pitch being accepted, because quite frankly, it'll be better than a few of the pitches that's already in Division 2. You asked about abroad, and again, in quite a lot of European leagues, Dutch League, for example, they've had teams playing on synthetic turf for a long time. And again, in Dutch football, where they in Holland, where they've got a shortage of space, natural turf to play on, they've accepted 3G pitches a lot quicker than we have. So they don't have any fair playing on those. And other countries, it's probably climate driven. A lot of 3G pitches in Scandinavia, out into Austria, Switzerland. They've accepted where they struggle to grow the quality of grass to sustain the high quality natural pitch. Synthetic turf now is a really, really good option.
Bryn, thanks for your time tonight.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bryn.
Yeah,
okay. You've got an advocate in Mr. Anderson here. If only he could get a job. Bryn joining us then from. You'd like to go and manage a team with a. I'm just handed Dave Anderson.
I don't want to manage anybody, and you've just given me a sweetie, and I've put it in my mouth.
A piece of chewing gum in his mouth. We're going to talk to someone who is not averse to playing on a 3G pitch in a minute too. Gary McCann, manager of Hendon. Whilst we get him up, one other story I wanted to talk about. I said about this change in ownership at Telford, AFC Telford this week, National North team, of course. They've been owned by the fans. I know they're a team that kind of we've spoken to over the years too. But to try and allow some external investment, they're talking about changing this fan ownership structure too. Something that my team, Chelmsford City, have just passed and changed the resolution to that too. So it's kind of trying to make that hybrid, isn't it? With the fans' involvement, but allowing external investment too. If you haven't got a number of really wealthy fans, then you need to try and see how you get that investment in elsewhere.
So, or thousands of poor fans, I suppose, is the other way. But it probably is the way many more clubs will have to go. I mean, it seems like a sensible thing. I think if we had Kevin Rye on here, ex of Supporters Direct, he would be, if I was to speak for him, he'd be saying, well, the key thing is to protect the fans' vote, input into that club, not for it to slip away from them. That's the only the only slightly worrying thing that I could see from that model. But it's probably the only way to go, really, especially if clubs really do want to progress and they want to go out and buy a 3G pitch or something like that. It may be the only way they can do it.
Dave Watters, Dave Anson, and myself, Caroline Barker, with the non-league show this week. If there's anything that you've heard that you want to get in touch about, you can join us via social media. We're at Non-League Show, and every week we post you a different video and photo of where we're broadcasting from this week. Yes, Waters?
I've just got one little one I forgot earlier on, actually, and I haven't had a tweet or anything yet, but I know the producer of the show, our Tim, is a fan, but actually Hayes and Yedding, they lost their manager this week as well, Mickey Lewis. So, sorry, Mickey, for forgetting about you earlier.
Thank you. Any other parish notices, Anderson?
No, that's it. But I know you're good. Near Hayes and Yedding tonight, so I thought it may have been of small interest.
Don't give away our secret location. This car park could be swarmed any minute with our flashing lights. Whilst we broadcast from the car park, it's come to my favourite point of the show every week, which is where Dave Anson attempts to introduce our next guest. So who's up next, Dave?
Up next. Up. that went well. Up next is someone I managed. Someone I've managed teams against and is managing a club I used to manage. He's an absolute legend at the place. I think he's got a stand named after him. He's in his new ground on a 3G pitch. Taxi driver by day. Entrepreneur by night. It's Gary McCann, or Sir Gary McCann, I suppose.
You want to talk to him then?
Hello, Gary, are you there?
Good evening, Dave. Good evening, Caroline. How are we all?
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
he said Dave.
Dave and Dave, sorry.
I know. That's just my middle name. Gary, I mean, that was a perfect introduction. What Dave neglected to say is that we're only speaking to you because it's the FA Cup this weekend. Hendon, your team, off to Boreham Wood, could be the shock of the round.
Thank you, Dave. You can continue.
No, it's a local derby. I think it'll be a great game. Boreham Wood in a bit of form. There's a good link between the two clubs, if I'm not mistaken, Gary, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got a close affinity with the club, you know, with it being our local club. But also, obviously, the management team, you know, Luke Garrard is a friend of mine, a football friend of mine, but obviously Junior Lewis and Jason the same. Junior was a worked very much in the same change room as me for 3 years. So, you know, there is an affinity there, which obviously creates a bit more of an interest. But, you know, it's a game we're all looking forward to, Dave. You know, it's a tough game. It doesn't get much tougher than that because they are one of the form teams in the Conference Premier at the moment. So it's important we're at our best. You know, there's no doubt we need to be at our best to cause any sort of upset.
Full strength, Gary, getting into the game, you know, injuries and suspensions?
No, we're not. We're not, Dave. I can't hide behind it. We obviously had CB sent off last week, which, you know, and it's now with the new rule change, it's obviously a week on. So we lose seeds for the game. And he's one of the experienced player that you're familiar with. You know, he's a big loss. Ollie Sprague as well, left back, he's 50-50. He's got an hamstring strain, so we're not quite at full strength. But that can galvanise you, Dave. That can sort of, you know, in terms of where we're at, it gives other squad members who have been chomping at the bit to, you know, some game time and giving them an opportunity on the biggest stage possible. Because for any football club, a fourth qualifying round isn't, you know, it isn't any normal game. It's a game that... you know, that any team or any club, you know, look to try and, you know, try and get to, and, you know, the finances that are involved are huge. So, you know, it's the romance of the cup that we're looking towards, but I'm sure Simon Lawrence, the chairman, will be looking at the other side as well. But,
But, 15K you've earned so far from winning it. We'll ask whether you've seen any of that for more players in just a moment. Well, I know that the club, they like to... He likes to keep the structure going, doesn't he, and make sure that the club's stable first off.
Of course, and we take a responsibility from the pitch, Caroline. I think, you know, over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, I think the FA Cup money has been key, and, you know, I take great pride in what we've managed to bring in over the course of the sort of, you know, that period. And this injection of cash is, you know, with all what we've had to lay out and where we're at in terms of our new ground, this has come at just the right time, I'm sure. You know, the chairman would like to add to that, but, you know, we have a tough ask, you know, with the game we've got Saturday. We know that. I know Junior and Jason, for me, are two of the best coaches in non-league football. I don't think there's much better than either of them two. And I'm sure Luke appreciates how good both of them two are, because I know, Dave, you work with Jason. I've worked with Junior. And I know that, you know, how efficient they are and how, you know, how structured they are in everything they do. So... Luke's got a good team together there in terms of his management, and you know, we've got a tough game, but you know, it's the boys are, you know, we train Tuesday. We didn't have a game on Tuesday night. We pulled the plug on the Kingston game so we could prepare correctly, which we did. We was in last night, and we'll be in again tomorrow. And I can see, you know, you can always see that extra focus in the team. You know, when there's a big game of this sort of nature, you know, around the corner.
Yeah, Junior Lewis and Jason Goodliffe, who we've had on the show before, of course, but now doing well, ever so well, at Bournemouth, Luke Garrard and the team that are there. Just briefly, before we let you go, unless Waters has something burning to say, I'm sure he'll shout or his mum will interrupt.
I was just going to say, yeah, I will actually, thank you. just going to say, Gary, yeah, listen, definitely, if you don't mind, win on Saturday. No, I was thinking, was it a Sunday game there for a second? No, but listen... If you know, it's a fourth and final qualifying round. What a dream it would be. You know, you'd be in that draw. Is it Monday Night Live, probably on BBC? You know, first round, Silver Jubilee Park, home tie against a nice Football League club. And you could be on the telly. It'd be great for the club, for the league, for Mr. Lawrence, for the club's bank account.
So, for sure, Dave. I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you move into a new ground, you want to showcase what you've put together. It's been a long time coming, Dave. I mean, you know, we've had 8 years of no home. So, you know, it's, you know, the fact we've got a home, if, you know, if we can be in the draw, even if we're in the draw with Bournemouth on Monday, it's it would be a great achievement. So, I mean, as I said to the players, there's only one group of people that have got to believe we can win the game, or at least progress from the game. And, you know, it'd be a big, big achievement. But I can assure you all that there's been bigger cup upsets than us against Bournemouth. So we've got to believe. And, you know, and I know I've got a group of players that will be focused and committed and looking to try and make that happen.
You've got three more behind you here as well.
Well, apart from, we're being neutral with Bournemouth, of course.
Oh, you lot be neutral. Oh, I don't have to be. I'm a so, come on.
Gary, are you on the rank tonight?
No, at my home tonight, Caroline. Late night last night with training and whatnot. We had, you know, quite a long session yesterday working on different bits and pieces, and I finished a little earlier tonight, you know.
Oh, well, I was just worried about, you know, whether I was keeping you away from your fares, but we'll let you go anyway. Yeah. All right, Mr. McCann, thank you for coming on. Good luck, Gary.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Gary McCann, manager at Hendon. They go to Bournemouth this weekend.
I didn't want to mention his league position. If you're still there, Gary, because I'm sure he'll turn that around as well.
Well, I've put that down to the sort of West Ham syndrome, you know, moving to a new club. Yeah. Takes a little while. But all I was going to say, Dave, was that I think they have a fair chance because Bournemouth have been doing really well, but they haven't been doing brilliant at home. And their success is based around being really solid defensively. When they play Hendon at home, there'll be a nervousness about them. First 20 minutes, half an hour of the match will be massive for Hendon. You know, if they can get through that and get a little bit of edginess into the conference side, then who knows?
Yeah, that just one of the ties this weekend, £15,000, I said they've won so far at the FA Cup fact file on social media and at the FA, or just at FA even, to follow what happens this weekend. We'll be tweeting about it. Sue, I forgot to mention to him, Nicky Muir, one of their players, reading an interview with him this week. He said the manager told us on group chat on WhatsApp, which has been going off throughout the show tonight, Dave's WhatsApp. The best bits are when I look down at your phone and I see a WhatsApp message, is whether it's an image I'm going to see and want to see that comes up next.
My golf mates have got a little group thing that I'm in, as you can see by the language of some of them that comes through.
You don't have to explain to me. I'm currently sat nearly 9 o'clock at night in a car park with you.
Locker room banter, Dave.
No, let's not discuss that because I have some very strong views. Let's instead continue the non-league show this evening with a other traditional slot, which is talking to another radio station. Tonight is the turn of Rebel Radio, or this morning when you listen to this, from Slough Town FC. Adrian from the station joins us. Hi, Adrian.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right. What about you? The gloss, the stars, the joys of, what is it you tweeted us earlier? 9 straight league games in a row that you've won. 6th consecutive clean sheets. Is it all down to you?
I wish it was. I think a lot of it's down to the new stadium as well, giving the players a lot of confidence. But we got 2 joint managers who are defenders, and it's taken them a couple of years to actually get a decent defence in. So they're building from the back and scoring some goals as well. So at the moment, 11 games unbeaten, 9 wins in a row. I don't think Slough fans, with a new stadium back in Slough, I don't think they can believe what's happening.
You need to have a word with West Ham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that magic don't go that far. We don't want to spread it around.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, it's a club that's close to my heart. I spent some time there when they were grandchildren back in school. They always wanted them to go back to Slough. I actually passed the ground a couple of weeks ago and stopped, got out of my car and had a look. It's a magnificent, looks really, really good. The point I want to make is beyond that. It's that the joint managers came in a couple of years ago, didn't have a magnificent start, then get through into the playoffs, had that magnificent playoff final where they were, I think, 3-0 down 1-4-3 or 2-0 down 1-3-2. But the club didn't panic. They didn't make a big change quickly. And like I've always sort of said on the show, give people time to settle down into their job and the success will follow with it. But really the club backed them in the early stages of their career there, didn't it?
Can I just very quickly introduce some subtitles to this, as I always like to? Top of the Everestic Southern Premier, 4 points clear, game in hand, slow at the moment. Mm-hmm. The two managers in question, Neil Baker and John Underwood. Adrian, continue.
Go well, six clean sheets as well, 620 minutes since we last conceded a goal. The last time we conceded in the league was on the first game of our new ground, August 29th. That was Hazen Yedi. So they've been doing well, but I think Dave's absolutely right about the managers. And to be honest, it's all down to one person, and that's the chairman, Steve Easterbrook. He comes in and he's given those managers the right things. And as you say, he hasn't panicked. We didn't start that season where we won promotion very well. But we had a couple of spells where we were winning six games on the trot, seven games on the trot. And in the playoff final where we did live coverage, I did the first half on the radio, we were 2-0 down and we were absolutely battered. But they didn't panic. They just kept to the game plan. Second half, the weather was with us and we won 3-2. And the managers, they've not panicked at any stage during the season. And at the end of last season, once we knew they were safe, they decided, right, let's concentrate defence-wise. We'll do that. And they built it into this season. They brought in some players from Basingstoke, who were in the Conference South, with people like Simon Dunn, who's been absolutely fantastic. Mark Nisbet, who was at Maidenhead United. You know, and these players have come down and they've lifted the rest of the players from last season. They've all raised their level to that, to the level of these Conference South players. It's showing in the football that we play.
Just quickly, Adrian, sorry if Dave Waters is trying to jump in, but what average gear are you getting? Because I always expected the crowds to increase like tenfold once you get back home.
Well, at the moment, I mean, the ground isn't fully complete. There is, the main stand isn't going to be completed till the end of February. And at the moment, a lot of that site is still classed as a building site. So there's not much parking actually at the ground. So a lot of people are having to park in the town centre. It's only a 15 to 20 minute walk. But our first game, our first three games at Beaconsfield this season, we averaged about 330. The first game at Arbor Park, there was 1,400.
There
we
you
had
go.
314 for a League Cup game the other week against Ashford Town. And that was where everyone had to pay, obviously, no season tickets. When we had that game last season, when we were at Beaconsfield, we had 91 people turn up.
Yeah.
And I think we're phenomenal. We're second in the attendances at the moment. I think our average is just about under the 700. But we had 687 the other Tuesday night when Leamington came down. So for a Tuesday night when there was champions of the league, I think Tottenham were playing that week, you know, we still had 687 people. And I'm involved with the club, not just with the radio, but I help out with some of the operational stuff. And I know one of the big things that the club wanted was a new generation of fans coming through, because where you ground share, you don't get the youngsters. They can't get to these places. Yeah. On the last Saturday game that we played against Cambridge City, there were 70 kids under the age of 16 come through. And we've never had that for a long time, because they can't get to the games with their parents. They don't want to come and travel 7.5 miles out of the town.
Adrian, you've sold it to me. You've sold it to Dave. It does. And a real pleasure having a taste of all things Rebel Radio too. If people want to hear you, why wouldn't they? How do they find out more about Rebel Radio?
Yeah, well, what we do is we cover every game live via YouTube. We go to the games and we do a live coverage and stays on YouTube. It was all funded by My Football Club, who were the online community involved with Ebbsfleet a few years ago, where they took over the club and they got them through to the FA Trophy. And basically what we do is we go to a game, and they've got so many fans from around the world and so of Slough that don't live in Slough, and they wanted that extra experience that you can get. So you could go on YouTube, or if you go on the Slough Town website, which is SloughTownFC.net, you'll see it on there. It says Rebels Radio. We're on about 10 minutes before every game, as long as we can get a little bit of a decent signal. Some places are quite hard. We went to Dorking Wanderers last season, couldn't pick up a signal for love nor money. But most of the time we're on, and we do a thing where you can interact with us. We're on Twitter. And we also do, during the game, we keep you up to date with the scores. And there's a comment section on YouTube so people can come through and ask questions, and we can inform them as they go on. So that there's an extra kind of feel about not just people listening to a commentary and just getting roughly anything. They can, you know, join into the actual show very much like yourselves.
Yeah, but do they broadcast from a car park in West London? No, they don't. That's what we're doing tonight. Yeah. We beat you to a pulp.
I don't know about that. We've had some bad places to go to.
I tell you what, this is a pretty exotic car park. Adrian, thanks for coming on, and we shall follow you with interest as always. Yeah. Cheers, Adrian.
Please come down to the ground at any time. Cheers.
I'm definitely coming. Definitely.
Yeah, you want to get on that radio, don't you? Yeah. because he doesn't want to sit next to me.
You know they should get down there. They should get Stuart Hammonds down, the old former editor of the Non-League Paper, because he's great friends with Neil Baker and John Underwood.
He was always talking about him, didn't he?
Do you know what? It's come to that time of the show when we're in a car park when we like to just take the roof off for a bit. So we're going to do that. The windows are going down. The roof's going off. We're going to look at the stars together.
The windows are steamed up.
Yeah, they are steamed up. Look at the stars. Oh, I should have filmed this. You should have filmed this. That's almost it from us this week. We're going to have a bit of a smooch in the back seat and watch some cinema. If Mrs. Anderson's listening, that's not what's going to happen. Is there anything else you'd like to report? Dave Anderson says he's filming this, but he hasn't actually pressed record. Do I have to do everything? That's it from us this week. A reminder, you can get the show, of course, throughout the the light is in my face. Now I can't concentrate on what I'm supposed to be saying.
You're used to TV.
I'm supposed to be a pro. It's not going to happen in these conditions.
But proof
is in the pudding. You can, of course, download the show every week. You can find us on social media at Non-League Show, where no doubt this video is going up too. Thank you for your company, as always. You can have the show for free on your website. Just check out our website. Have a look at Non-League Show for more on where to get it. But from all of us in a car park in West London, did we mention that? It's raining.
Fantastic.
It's raining. Good night.